hear a $500,000 funding agreement coming about, and I didn't hear any, and maybe I missed it, but I didn't hear any part that the sewer district gets. The sewer district, I believe, is an important part. We do need the sewer district. I'm not saying we don't need the sewer district. But what I think brought this to me to speak up is, where's the sewer district in this issue? Did they approve this?
The sewer, there's a document called the Sewer Sales Tax Usage Guidelines that was approved almost a year ago in July. And it outlines on the funding agreements with incorporated areas, that's what I deal with. And it outlines the procedure of how they apply and how the funds are distributed, different things like that. And that's what I work under. The sewer district, when they split with the county, and they're an autonomous political subdivision, just like City of Branson or any other entity is, even though they're kind of probably a related component of county government, but they're still separate. The county commission made a decision in 2013 that since this is county funds, it's a county sewer sales tax, that on the funding agreements and the way that that user guideline was developed by the attorneys, then the commission are the ones that have to sign off on those agreements, that the incorporated area funding would be handled under the county commission. Now, if there's a project that's complex, you know, I've talked to Brad Albritton and got, you know, sought Brad's counsel on how his feeling about the projects. We work somewhat closely on some of the more complex projects, but the sewer district per se, there's no tie there, there's no requirement, or there's no anything there to where they have to approve the projects. Now, they approve their projects. You know, sewer district has multi-millions of dollars worth of projects that they're in charge of and they approve. But on these smaller funding agreement projects, it's handled through the county commission. But the county commission does have to approve the sewer district expenditures because they have to budget those dollars annually for the sewer district to operate on.
So can the sewer district spend dollars without the approval of the county commission?
They can spend it after we give them the approval of their budget. Mm-hmm.
But in this case, they could have approved this $500,000 funding agreement with Branson without having to come through y'all.
So, that's not how it's set up, no. Chuck. I mean, it's set up in two different. You've got, well, we've explained it probably three or four times. You've got the smaller funds, the smaller needs, the more immediate needs, and then you've got the larger projects. So the sewer district handles the larger projects. Mr. Suti is able to take care of the cities and their needs and the villages and their needs more. I'm assuming it probably expedites it quite a bit, does it not? Do you know? I mean, so everybody feels like it's a benefit. Again, would you like to speak on it? Or do you?
I can explain it.
So it expedites it. Yeah, it expedites it, makes it happen quicker. So if there is an emergency, if there is a need to get something done, where like the roads there at the village of Taneyville.
Yeah, the trench settlement.
I mean, all those different little issues. So it's to help expedite the needs of the citizens of Taney County, and yet you've got the larger projects. You know, we've been working on the project going south for how long? How long have we been talking about Vince on the Lake? How long, you know, those projects is what the sewer board handles. So you've got two different funds, all approved by the county commission ultimately, and so that's how it's set up to help.
I can settle the situation better. I requested a dollar amount, but let's talk about what the benefits are. When they have these projects, like the City of Branson here, they've done all the engineering and everything that it needs to be done. A village or something, they proceed and go on the bidding process, and this is all. And the sewer district itself doesn't have to handle that. If the sewer district takes on a project, then they have to do all that. If the project for Forsyth, say they had an expansion, but last year I believe it was, it was a big expansion. They took care of all the engineering. County wasn't responsible for it. We approved it after all those processes were taking place. And the sewer district didn't have to do all that. The sewer district is overloaded with what they have to take care of on the major projects, the way it already is with the acquiring of easements and all the things that go into a project. You know, even to get a project started, you're talking about a two-year probably time frame to even get a major project started. The entities take care of all that process, and then they come to the county with a smaller amount. Like I said, we turned down millions of dollars more than the $4 million that the county commission takes and awards at that time.
Well, and to take that step further, these are intergovernmental agreements. They're not... So it's an agreement to provide the funding for what the cities and villages have already put in place. The other is our sewer-owned projects. So you have two different things.
I think I do have a good handle on the benefits, and I've seen those. And I think it's grand. It's worked for Foresight, Ransom, all those. Awesome. My question was, what rised up in me, if we're talking about funding a $500,000 project, and I never have understood, I still yet, I think I heard you say, Brandon, in some cases, sewer district, if there's a budget for it, they can go ahead and spend it. If it's a smaller or bigger one or the other, I forget what you said. But in other cases, like today, it has to come before the county commission. And that's a little bit confusing to me. That's where my question arises, is how, who is responsible for approving the funding of those sewer sales tax?
The county commission is.
That's that.
I don't understand how we can explain it any more simpler.
Thank you
for
your time.
Campaign policy discussion.
Campaign policy discussion. This was brought to our attention last week by emails that were sent out about some candidates going to the road barns. And after investigating, which I didn't have to investigate because I talked to Mr. Hayes, and if they go to work at 6:30 and a candidate shows up at 6 o'clock, or they come in at 5 o'clock and a candidate's there and he's waiting on them to, and they stay after that. I visited with Mr. Hayes. Mr. Hayes, let me refresh my memory, but close to 40 years you worked for the county? How many years you worked for the county, sir?
36 years.
I visited with Mr. Hayes about this issue, and this has taken place, and not just commissioners who serve over Road and Bridge, but other candidates have came to the road barns or other facilities and campaigned. Now, they can't campaign in the courthouse, but they can't. They've been going to these road barns for generations. And it's customary. They bring donuts or whatever they, or sandwiches or whatever. I felt like this was a distraction on this campaign issue, but it has to be addressed by the county commission. I don't see. I don't have any problems. If it's before work hours and after work hours, I talked to a couple of the candidates, and they said that the supervisors got up and got the men out on time at 6:30 of the morning, and they left when they went to work and was on the job at that time, and that there was no campaigning done during work hours. As far as I'm concerned, there's not a problem with it. I think it was possibly a distraction to be raised during the campaign season. If there needs to be a change in the policy, then I'm for changing the policy if you think there's a need to do so. But I don't feel like that nobody should have a question about it. You know, gentlemen, this seems to be a pick and choose issue. I know that there was a talk about campaigning on city property and campaigning on other property, but then I see signs of elected officials who griped about the campaigning sitting on county property or sitting on state property or some right across the street here sitting on city property. So I don't see that we need to get so involved with an issue. We've probably talked way more about it right now than it should be.
I got the emails as well. My only concern was is that the employees can't help it if a candidate goes to a place and campaigns. So I don't know that the email, if some of the employees felt like they were in trouble in any way or anything like that, you know, they shouldn't have that feeling.
No, they do.
And I know that, you know, there's other candidates that have gone throughout the courthouse and asked to meet with specific employees, and they've that made them uncomfortable because I address the concerns as, hey, you can do whatever you want on your time. On county time, you need to be working. And so I think that made them feel a little more comfortable on how to handle it. So, Ruth, go ahead.
Donna and Neely had sent out that email to the candidates, but then the question arose regarding the county employees, which you just suggested. But in the personnel manual, it states that it references county premises and then working time or unauthorized use of county resources for political activity. So it could kind of fall into that place. So whether we need to make a change, if that's what you want to do for the
No, I don't